Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science. Welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. I am so excited, as always, to sit across from yet another guest who is a rock star in my mind and a dear person that I've known for almost a year or two now, I think, and to just spend time and space together to share the things that we're pondering about life and being human and being change agents in the world. So here we are again, and I invite all of my guests, as always, to sit back, to allow whatever happens today and the sound of our voice and the information to wash over you. If anything sticks and finds its way into these aha moments, that's beautiful. And if not, just creating space for you to listen again later. And there might be something else that stands out. So welcome back. Today I'm here with Karen Onderko. Karen is passionate about being an advocate for advancing the understanding and application of polyvagal principles to improve care, connection, and acceptance among people. She's played an important role in bringing the Safe and Sound Protocol from the laboratory to the clinical world, conducting the initial testing, developing the training, and supporting the SSP provider community. Together with Dr. Stephen Porges, Karen has written a book about the SSP titled Safe and Sound, A Polyvagal Approach to Connection, Change, and Healing. Regularly witnessing the transformative power of polyvagal-informed approaches, Karen is eager to support the promotion of education and access to polyvagal theory for people in diverse communities throughout the world. Karen is the founding board member of the Polyvagal Institute, which is how I came about her work. And I am so thrilled to have her here today to share a little more about what she's doing in the world and the book and where our lives intersect. So welcome to Transformative Harmonics.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for having me on.
I've been waiting for this conversation for a while. I'm super excited to, number one, just create some space to hear a little bit more about your journey. I was thinking today before we met of the first time I saw you, which was when you stepped on stage at the Polyvagal Summit. And in listening to the people present and talk about you, I didn't know anything about you. I began to realize, oh, this woman's a pivotal person in the Polyvagal Institute. And so my curiosity was piqued then, although we didn't get to meet more intimately and talk until about a year later. So I love that we have this time and just want to create a relaxed environment so we can lean in and hear a little about yourself and your story. So if you don't mind, maybe that's where we can start.
of how you came to come into this world. Because I do know this is also, you came in from a side door.
Yeah, yeah. Like a major right-hand turn, a right turn. correct turn. So I spent a long time, 17 years, in the world of finance, helping to de-risk investments for people's 401k portfolios. So I was in the business of reducing a sense of threat and risk from an earlier time. Anyway, while very interesting, and I was always on a steep learning curve, it was so clear for much of that time that I wasn't really helping anyone else in the world. And I constantly asked myself that question, how is this helping anyone else? And, you know, having a safer 401k plan is, you know, that's good, but it wasn't enough. So I left that work. And at the same time, my family moved from New York City to Denver, which was, for many reasons, was right after September 11th. And we really thought, we don't want to live in a place that feels threatening to us. I realized I was wearing tennis shoes to work every day and pants so that I didn't have to wear nice shoes because I never knew if I was going to have to run somewhere. It was a really strange time in the world, obviously. Anyway, we moved to Denver and I took some years off with my children until my youngest daughter, Camille, who was one when we moved, went to kindergarten. And at that point, I went back to school to study neuroscience and was particularly interested in the concept of neuroplasticity. So at the University of Colorado, I took many courses with a man who became my mentor, Jim Grigsby. And then I worked in his research lab where we were understanding the factors that improved or worsened access to our executive functioning. And it was from him who I learned about polyvagal theory, because our physiological state is a gate to our executive functioning. And we found that in different studies, just consistently. Ultimately, I feel like research wasn't the right path for me. And at that time, Norman Doidge, who wrote a book called The Brain That Changes Itself, and then a subsequent book called The Brain's Way of Healing, wrote about a sound therapy called the Total Focus System, which is actually really a sound and movement therapy, that was based in Denver, the company that was distributing that therapy. So anyway, I was fascinated by that and sought a job out there and got a job. And Randall Redfield is one of the co-founders of that company, who you know. And in my early days of working there, we were just talking about how to develop an evidence base of why that therapy was so effective, this sound and movement therapy. And I thought, you know, I think polyvagal theory probably has something to say about this. And so we reached out to Steve Porges. I wrote a fan letter to him and was so thrilled to get a response. Now I know he responds to everybody because it's Steve. And he invited us to his home to do a podcast with him in North Carolina, in Chapel Hill. And he was something of an intellectual crush for me. And so it was a big deal to be going to meet him. And I was a little bit nervous about it. It was an ice storm in Chapel Hill the day that we went. And so we ended up in our socks because it was so snowy and icy outside around his fireplace. And it couldn't have been more comfortable, cozy, relaxed. I realized that I couldn't say anything stupid. If I asked any question, he would turn it into something interesting. And that's just who he is. And so right from the very first minutes of meeting him and spending time with him, Randall and I both had this very, you know, obvious sense of comfort and ease with him. And we spent a lot of time talking about the Total Focus System. And at some point in the conversation, he shared with us that he also had been working on a sound intervention. And it's called the Listening Project Protocol, which is what became the Safe and Sound Protocol. And that he had been researching in a laboratory for, you know, many years. So here, what was to become the SSP was hiding in plain sight. And he didn't know what he was going to do with it. The research was showing that it was really effective. He was working with children on the spectrum, and he was finding that their auditory hypersensitivities were reducing, their auditory processing was improving, that they were calmer, more cooperative, had better emotional control. And he knew that he knew he was onto something, but he didn't know how or where to take it. So it was that day that we sort of hinted at this idea of what about, you know, having a collaboration to work on this protocol and bring it into the suite of products that ILS had, Integrated Listening Systems. That was the company. And that was the beginning of this beautiful journey that I've been on for really almost, well, it's actually 10 years now. So, yeah, so I tell my daughters, you know, if you're interested in something, pursue it. If you want to know something more about someone else, reach out to them, because that connections are how things happen. And that was a wonderful start to a really incredible experience.
Yeah, I love believing in the power of connection rather than, they'll never talk to me or this will never happen.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's the entry point where the three of you came together and what eventually became the Polyvagal Institute or an aspect as well.
Almost 5 years later, that happened. So we had just been so embroiled in polyvagal theory, the SSP, but then we started to see that while SSP was growing and people were very interested in it, of course, because the ILS, Integrated Listening System, was had a client base that was mostly pediatric therapists, OTs, SLPs, and PTs, that initially it was, you know, pediatric clinicians using the SSP, but in much the same way that polyvagal theory was embraced wholeheartedly by the trauma world, very quickly, trauma therapists came to understand that this therapy was out in the world. And we could see that the interest in SSP and the early results, which were so transformative, really, in many ways, was also increasing interest in polyvagal theory in a kind of backwards way, almost, you know? And so that sort of became another separate interest, which is to develop something that would keep these ideas alive, share applications of polyvagal theory, which were until that point really mostly therapeutic, into other fields. So medicine, parenting, education, so many areas and so many disciplines now are embracing concepts of polyvagal theory. And the Polyvagal Institute has done a great job of creating a lot of resources and education in those areas. And welcoming people from all walks of life to participate as, you know, learners, as contributors. And it seems like it's a place where we're all finding our people, you know, we're all interested in polyvagal theory and we've got this commonality. So it's a place of community too.
Yes. Yeah. And so many different disciplines can come together to talk about the same concepts. And for listeners who don't have a background, if we want to give just a blanket statement about polyvagal theory so that they have a framework. One of the ways I talk about it a lot is our perception and understanding of how we hold threat and safety in the body and how that's influenced at a very fundamental level in the nervous system. And it colors the way we speak, the way we interact, the executive functioning, as you mentioned, as well as just how we move towards life or away from life.
That's so beautiful.
It's very applicable to just being human. It's like part of the theory of being human.
I talk about it as the theory of human nature and what makes us tick. And I'll also add to your beautiful description that I feel like it's both forgiving and hopeful. And it's forgiving because in a way it changed the conversation from judging to understanding. And understanding, and this is how in education and parenting in particular, it's so helpful to see that our behavior is not our character. Our behavior is the result of our physiological states that underlie our behavior, and that is impacted by our experiences in the world and the cues of safety and threat that we're constantly being, we're constantly receiving. It's also hopeful. Well, that's a hopeful thing, actually, in and of itself. But it's hopeful because the nervous system can change. And we know that because small experiences of safety can accumulate to greater safety and a better sense, like a better capacity to go back to a connected ventral vagal state. And over time to, create more flexibility in the nervous system. So,
So change is possible for all of us, and many of us who do this work are kind of poster childs for that, because we're not just out there sharing this with people. We're doing the work ourselves. So we speak from this fundamental sense of truth and belief in what we're talking about. I appreciate the theory and appreciate too its broader holding of many of this, these concepts or ways of operating where we understand ourselves in the context of tribe and human connection is in our lineage as humans. And we're kind of remembering that again.
Yeah. And it's so true that in a dysregulated state or in a, if we're stuck in a state of defense, that we're so inward focused, we just can only focus on ourselves. But when we can access better regulation and we can open up to safety and connection, then that's where community comes in.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, that gives us a little bit of an idea then of your story and just following your breadcrumbs and then life also shepherding you along. As you kept taking a step forward, I know we crossed paths when you were already fairly central in the Unite community. Unite is the company that offers the SSP technology. And you had a pivotal role in helping the providers understand, their work and what they were offering and creating a sense of community. And was it then that the book came into the possibility of a book, or did that happen before that?
I think the possibility of the book arose when we started to just hear the stories of transformation that people were experiencing with their clients. And so I was really the recipient, the lucky recipient of connection from providers who couldn't not share. They were bursting with their stories and needed to share them. So we were hearing and learning from those stories, because every story is so different, because every client is different and every day is different. So we would hear the different approaches to delivery. We would hear different symptoms that seem to be being addressed and different outcomes. And so we started to collect those stories in a way. We couldn't not. We were sharing them within the company. And as we were developing with Steve, everything that had to do with everything, the training, the outreach, the promotion of SSP, we had weekly meetings with Steve, and we started every meeting with a story. And that just sort of grounded us in, why are we here? What are we doing? What is the purpose of this? And what is the, what's the response? So we learned from those experiences, and shifted the protocol as we learned. So the original protocol was based on that research that was done in the lab with children on the spectrum. And it was a very narrow protocol. It was a specific way that you delivered it, which was to spend an hour a day and for five consecutive days listening to the music. And you weren't meant to move. You were meant to be quiet and maybe do, a puzzle or something together. There wasn't a lot of talking. It was kind of rather silent. And because it was successful with that group of, with that population, it was safe. It was a sense of safety that if that's the, if that's the the protocol that we handed over to new providers, that we would feel safe, that the clients would be safe. And in fact, Steve had this original idea that maybe providers would have to sign something to say they would actually follow that protocol to the T. And it was so quick that we could see, you know, right away that the protocol didn't have to be done in that way. And in fact, for many people, it was the wrong way to deliver. And we found that out, you know, very quickly. So we really shaped the path of SSP because of the input from those providers, and owe a deep, you know, credit to their experiences and their willingness to share their experiences to do that, to, you know, to shape, you know, to shape the guidelines and to shape the training and to shape how we talked about SSP.
Yes. I think I was part of that initial experience, because in my going through the SSP the first time, I did it in the original way that it was offered in the 5 hours several times. So I saw the changes and the shift, and it's just so beautiful and nuanced now. And I just love that there's so many choices that we can really allow the nervous system to decide how it wants to be delivered.
So joy. Yeah.
What a journey. What a journey.
Yeah. Okay. That was a fascinating journey. Yeah, and we learned so much. So
yeah. I remember sharing my story once with the staff, because they would have you come in, certain providers, and I just cried about my own process of using it and the healing that happened. So it was very moving for me to have people bear witness to my process, who were, it was the technology crew, you know, it was the young people behind the scenes who were helping move it from an MP3 into an iPhone app. And they were crying and I was crying, and it was really profound.
Yeah. I wasn't there for that one, but it was so important, actually, because, you know, all the people who worked at ILS and then Unite after that, really felt like a part of something special. So even the people, maybe even especially the people in the production department who were, you know, loading the music onto the MP3 players, putting it in that, it was like a lunchbox, remember, that you got that in sort of a carrying case. But when they were packaging those up, I think they had a sense that what they were doing is sending hope out into the world, honestly. So at every level, all of our jobs were so meaningful, you know?
Yes, I can imagine what it's like to be a part of that community.
Yeah.
I'm realizing we might want to talk a little about the SSP and what it is as we move into the book itself, because I would like to ask you about your experience in writing it. But let's give a brief synopsis of the SSP if any listeners aren't aware of what it is.
So I talk about it as an evidence-based, non-invasive therapy that involves listening to music that has been filtered to highlight the frequencies of a warm, connecting human voice. That means that it's got prosody and melody, and it's the kind of sounds that you would hear a mother talking to their baby with, or any of us talking to our pets. We have a special tone of voice that we use with our pets. And that's what we're talking about when I talk about the frequencies of human voice. It's not the human voice, it's the human connection, the frequencies of human connection. Because the nervous system loves those sounds, and it allows the nervous system to take in cues of safety and to downregulate defensiveness. There's so much more to say about that, but I'll leave it there for that. And I'll say that as a bottom-up therapy, the SSP doesn't rely on your belief system, your intentions, or your effort. Listening to the music and the frequencies, your nervous system is impacted directly. So you don't have to have buy-in. You don't have to talk. You can talk about it, and talking about it is really important. But it doesn't result from, you know, from anything that's a top-down process.
Yeah. Yeah, I describe it now as you're ingesting the music and allowing it to go where it needs to go. So you think about it as a process, just like we ingest air.
Wow, that's so
and
nice.
We allow ourselves to ingest, and we trust that it knows where to go.
Where to go.
Yeah. And you can't direct where it's going to go. You may have, you may say, I'd really like this to be fixed. No.
Yeah.
It's going to go where it's needed. It's going
it needs
gonna,
to.
Yeah. Affect you how it'll affect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finds his nooks and crannies that we, where we hold the fence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And so, yeah, so it's a sound-based technology program, which sound is the new medicine, and very powerful, very potent. And the book itself, I know through the years, it's hard to describe this to people. It's hard to describe both the effects of it and the process itself. And I do think you have beautifully captured so many different versions and illustrations of the process and the science so that people have a more of a grasp and may be willing to either train in it or experience it. So if we could move to the book to hear a little about your process of writing it, I think it's beautifully laid out. Felt like it walked me through every piece. And I thought, wow, if I had this, I would know, right, what I'm getting into and the purpose of the sound and how it works and potential ways of using it. That was the most beautiful thing about the book, because I'm one of the providers that's really on the fringe with how I use it. But then you have this whole spectrum of people from different walks of life using it. And so, I'll pass it to you to maybe begin to start to talk about the book itself.
Well, I'll just thank you for your participation in the book. You have the last chapter of the second part of the book with a case study of yours with a client whose pseudonym is David. And we chose to anchor that section of the book with your case because it spoke so meaningfully and beautifully to providers. And I felt like at the end of all of these, there are 13 case studies in the book, and as a capstone, to really dive into your process and your approach to delivering SSP and how another SSP provider, which David was, received that and how it changed his process as well. It was really important. So thanks. Thank you so much for participating that way. Yeah. And in fact, to say it's my, that I wrote it is so incorrect, because I think we sent thank you notes out to about 50 people who did participate in the book in one way or another. We had people who shared their vignettes and their short stories. We had the cases, you know, all had a provider and a client, sometimes multiple clients. And so it was really a collaborative, collective process, which was lovely. And the idea of the book really did come about from all of those early stories and our weekly sessions that we started with the story. Steve did early on say, let's save these. This is, you know, at some point this could be a book. And when I heard that, went in and out, but then we really did pick that back up almost, you know, eight or nine years later. And, thank you for what you said about the structure of the book. We thought carefully about what was the right way. How much of how deep into the science should we go? What should the weight of the case studies be versus the science? And we knew that we wanted it to be an accessible book, and that it would, we picked very fine line to try to speak to both providers and clinicians and lay people. So, you know, providers and clients, and we wanted both to be able to take something from the book. And so we wrote about polyvagal theory. There are two parts to the book. The first part is the more scientific. It sets the stage for the case studies, which are in the second part of the book. And so we talked about the importance of our autonomic nervous system to our physical health and mental health. We talked about how polyvagal theory is an important part of the nervous system and describes its effect on us and our lives. We talked about the SSP. We shared a lot of the research of SSP and what we're showing through peer-reviewed research that it's affecting. we have a chapter on how it works, what the science is that we know so far. I mean, I'm sure that as more people research this, that we'll find so many other connections and so many other pathways that are involved. But in that chapter, we talk about the core pathways that we feel we're clear on. And then in that first chapter, first part, there's also a chapter on self-care. So for people who may not be able to have access to SSP or who just want to try things on their own, we've offered a lot of ways to take care of your own nervous system and practices that might help regulate the nervous system. And then as part of that, there were 9 providers, clinicians who provided video practices, and that's in a special bonus page of the book, which, you know, there's a link to, you know, a page. And so that was a really nice part of it too. And then that, so from that first chapter, we go into the second part of the book, which is really almost 2/3 of the book, which is these stories of transformation and healing. And they are very diverse in the types of clinicians that are involved in the stories, the types of clients, the types of symptoms, the approaches. Everything is, each one is so different from each other. So we can show really the broad range of how people deliver it, the broad range of how people are affected by it. And for every case study, Steve provides his own analysis. He calls it a deconstruction. And so the way we would do this is I would have a nice interaction. I've gotten to know so many providers and their clients this way by hearing their story, writing that story, and kind of going in a back and forth process to make sure that we were telling the story in the appropriate nuanced way, and that it, you know, accurately depicted the experience of what happened in their SSP experience. And then I'd share that write up with Steve. He would read it, and then we would have a meeting. And so the provider, the clients, and Steve and I would have an opportunity. We spent an hour or 2 hours sometimes, processing that experience and what happened. And Steve learned a lot from the clients, and the clients and the providers learned a lot from Steve. And it was just a nice way of opening new windows of understanding of what happened in that case. And I would say maybe in all of the cases, but in most of the cases, at the very least, people described how that experience was itself healing. To review that process, it was, that was always something in their rearview window, and remembering that and comparing themselves now versus then and the path that they've traveled since then. Anyway, it was just, it was a really emotionally impactful experience to be part of those stories and to tell those stories. And I hope that it does. The biggest concern through the whole thing was to have it not be an advertisement, to not feel like it's marketing, but separately to still share the possibilities of working with the nervous system for healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we achieved that, but that was something that we were also always very careful of in terms of two things, wanting to make sure it's accessible to people and also to not feel like it was overstating anything.
Yes. Well, I love thinking of it as stories of hope, stories of transformation. That, as I'll speak as the provider, and then I had the client going through, it did feel very respectful that you were capturing the story of the whole process. And the meeting with Dr. Porges felt like it supported the integration of the whole experience, both for the provider and for the clinician, and almost like it was bringing the right and the left brain together.
Oh,
the right brain being the actual experience, and then he's coming in with this left brain neuroscience, and so, they were meeting in the middle for me. So it just culminated the whole experience in a really clear way. So
I think Steve felt so gratified by every one of those meetings as well, for that very reason, to know the science and to understand why it was created the way it was created, but then to see the, you know, the ways that these results blossomed from, you know, from his brain, from mm-hmm. what he created. So
beautiful. Was there any story or piece of the process that stands out for you in particular? A memory, a moment, an experience that we might highlight here.
There's a very poignant story, and I'm wondering if there's a way I can tell it without revealing that person's identity, because I had a relationship with one of the clients that was very important to me, because they cared for one of my daughters. And in the story, I felt like there was some kind of reciprocity in being part of the SSP that really supported change for them with one of their children. It was a really special experience. I'll say that I was always surprised in each of the cases, just in the difference of how change occurred, or in the difference of how the provider delivered SSP, or what their relationship was with the client and how the client responded. And so I feel like maybe that's was the biggest takeaway for me. Is I had lots of emotional moments, but the idea that it's so individual, it's so targeted, it's so bespoke and tailored to that person's own unique experience and their own nervous system.
The nuances of human connection.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What a gift to be able to witness that.
Oh my God. I'm so lucky. How did this happen that I've somehow been involved in this, you know, in this journey that has affected so many people? In the book, we cite this statistic, which is shocking. And Steve and I keep saying, wow, it's really like it says a lot that 200,000 clients have gone through SSP. That's a rough estimate, but together with Unite, we came up with that number based on the number of providers and et cetera. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I do think that there is a place for this. I don't even want to call it a product anymore. Now I call it a process or a program for supporting not just individual change, but community change and global change. So I do see it as it's a very important gift that has come in to the world. And perhaps
can you say more about that? Because it's something that we talk about it, that in your description in the book, it says that you believe that SSP can support healing of the individual, but also collective nervous system. And that is something that I actually made a note of and wanted to ask you about.
Me about,
what you
yeah.
meant by, you know, healing the collective nervous system.
Great. Yeah. Well, if we think of some of the work of Thomas Hubble and Peter Levine and this idea that we are all interconnected at a fundamental level, and that we're, I like to describe it as that we are each tuning forks, and we are each resonating off of one another. And so we have the capacity in sound healing, it's called entrainment. And I use that now when I talk about the new sound program too. The concept of entrainment means that we can support others in coming into a different sense of regulation within themselves, or coherence within themselves that is more heart-centered, grounded, present, and available to hold space to bear witness, to listen, to help people feel more like they belong and that they're valued. I mean, so many benefits that come from presence. And this program and this experience, when people go through, brings them into more of a place of ground, experience of grounded presence and availability. So if we have, this is a reason why I do it in groups, you know, we can do this at the individual level, but we can also do this at the group level and community level. And then as more and more people come together with that type of presence and availability, we can start to think more of systems beyond. And so it is, I think, a tool that's available to help carve these pathways for more interconnectivity so that we're connecting not just through our differences, and we start to feel our sense of where are we the same more than where are we different. And so those are some of the things that we talk about in my communities now. So I really, I don't hold it as a symptom. I'm here to, although symptom reduction may occur, right? And you know yourself, right? It's like things change, right? When the physiology changes. I think of it more of as a holistic tool to support health and coherence. And from health and coherence, healing happens at all levels, emotional, physiological symptoms, but also at a more fundamental level in terms of our ability to feel into our interconnectedness as a species. And that's kind of where I take people with the SSP, is into some of those places.
Yeah, that's gorgeous, gorgeous. Thinking of you know, the quality of our presence being, you know, affected by the state of our nervous system. And I mean, it, as you were talking, I thought of that Maya Angelou quote of people may not remember what you said to them, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And if we can all make other people feel better, connected, collaborative, you know,
seen, heard, and felt.
Better the world would be seen, heard, and felt, and the better the world would be. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is my hope for those that feel called to using sound, if you're a provider or someone who is interested in the healing effects of sound, that they find this program and the ones that are similar and see sound as a potential tool at this time. So I appreciate you bringing the science and the humanity to that with the stories themselves. Is there anything, since I have you here before we go, anything about your own process with the using sound that you'd like to share? Because again, if we're talking about stories, as I mentioned, I know for myself, at least in the very early states, I was struck by the ability of the sound program to support some of the places where I was struggling with sensory processing challenges where I didn't even know that I had them. And the effects were so profound that it brought me into more awareness of what it means to have sensory processing challenges. So those were some of the things when I spoke on earlier podcasts and shared in my communities that I spoke about often.
Well, I'll say that like you, I tried the SSP for myself, by myself, an hour at a time. And I thought, I really didn't have much of an impact. And I just thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, my auditory processing is not the way into my nervous system for me. I thought like maybe I was, you know, I failed SSP. But then I did have different experiences over time. And we both know that you delivered SSP to me in such a beautiful way that is very similar to what you described in your case. And that experience was profound for me because it allowed me to let go of some of the control, the sense of control that I needed to have in my world space relationships, to just let go more, not fully, but to let go more in so many realms of my life, which is very freeing to me. And I have a greater sense of just openness because of that. And that has stuck with me. We were just talking earlier that I just made a big life decision about moving. And I feel like that was possible because I was less tight. I was more available, open to possibilities. And this has been a really good one.
That's so powerful. I love to hear that. I love to hear you're coming around with something that it was just yesterday I was speaking to someone about this very same thing. Where, you know, when that sense of safety happens inside, then the outside and the ways that we try to maintain safety on the outside soften. And what freedom there is in that. And so, yeah, I know that's the same for myself and probably many humans, right? How we operate. So I'm so glad that that happened for you. And it is
so grateful
of this program. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have enjoyed every moment of this, Karen. I think I could sit and talk for a whole nother hour with you.
Same for that.
But I do hope we've given the listeners a taste of who you are and in your journey in writing the book. And where can they find you, the book, and any other information they're interested?
So the book was published by Sounds True, they were a terrific partner for us. We loved the people that we worked with there. So it's available on their website, soundstrue.com. It's available on Amazon, which is obviously very convenient. And then many bookstores are carrying it. I walked into a Barnes & Noble with a friend who was looking for a specific book. And then she said, oh, also, do you have a book called Safe and Sound? And they had it. So that was kind of a fun experience. So anyway, so it is in some bookstores. We hope you enjoy it. It's also on Audible and there's an ebook version. So, and you can experience it in many different formats. I'd also like to point out the Polyvagal Institute, which is polyvagal.org, where there's just so many resources and so much to learn and be connected to there. So I'd like to make sure that people are aware of that.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wow. There is, as you said, or you have, and the community that you've been a part of creating, created a resource hub for really understanding and what it means to be human and how to navigate our humanness through the nervous system. So I hope listeners turn to those resources. A lot of them are free. Some of them might be classes, and certainly the book itself is a great doorway in. So I've been just delighted with this whole conversation, and I hope we can stay connected, and I wish you the best in getting this out there.
Thanks, Paula. We will stay connected for sure.
Thank you.